Well, here's the targets. So Ryan Wingo got 87 targets, caught 50 passes. That's a 57.5% connection rate. DeAndre Moore got 49 targets and caught 38, had the best connection rate of any of the wideouts at 77.6, and had 4 touchdown catches. Ryan Wingo had 7. And, you know, DeAndre Moore is probably like, if I got 87 targets, I sure would have had more than 50 catches.
Right.
But, you know, you look at the dropsies. Wingo had 7 drops, but Moore had 3. Emmett Moseley had 0. Yeah. Emmett Moseley had 43 targets, so he was right behind DeAndre Moore. And Parker Livingston had 38 targets. So DeAndre Moore was the second most targeted, then Emmett Moseley. And look, Mosley's going to play the slot, or can. He can play anywhere. So if you think Jermaine Bishop is that good, and I love Jermaine Bishop, don't get me wrong. He's got that total football player vibe that I love. Jordan Whittington plays offense, defense, loves the game. He's not, you know, he's not Travis Hunter, but no one's Travis Hunter. But he's probably the closest thing since Jay Witt. Okay. If Jermaine Bishop is a burner, he needs to be outside. He needs to be Xavier Worthy. You know, Worthy didn't like lining up in the slot and going across the middle, and, you know, he had a little peekaboo.
Pretty boy. Come on, pretty boy. Go across that middle. We need that first down, man. How bad you want it? I don't care if you're 165 pounds. How bad you want it?
Yeah. Come on. Show us what you got.
Yeah, the Jermaine Bishop thing, I am not going to let y'all convince me that this guy is ready here in year one. I just can't do that. Like, I saw Kalik Lockett have great high school tape, too. I saw Jamie French have great high school tape, too. Same with Michael Terry, same with Dalen McCutcheon. And I'm not trying to knock Jermaine Bishop. I just... throwing them in that Xavier Worthy category for freshman year volume and production, I don't think that's fair to Jermaine Bishop. Let him ease into it. You know what I'm saying? Because they were saying the same thing about Terry, Lockett, French. They were saying the same thing about those guys. These guys are going to come in, and we weren't even talking about Parker Livingston that much. Like,
right.
You know, we were talking about him battling with these guys. Is Parker Livingston, like, we weren't talking about the guy.
He got opportunity because of the injuries. You know, DeAndre Moore and Ryan Wingo were both limited in the spring. And Parker Livingston said, I'll take those reps. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Like, that was opportunities for Terry, French, McCutcheon, capitalize as much as he could, but we saw after Emmett Moseley came back, Dalen McCutcheon wasn't needed no more. But yeah, I just, the Jermaine Bishop thing is very, I get it. Texas fans, be excited. That's beautiful. Like, I don't want to rain on anyone's parade. I just don't want to get caught up into thinking this dude Jermaine Bishop's going to come in year one and catch 75 passes for 950 yards and 8 touchdowns. I'm slowing my roll on, you know, that train a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, Worthy came in, was electric as a freshman. Lived up to all the hype. And you're like, oh, man, this is Sark's first real wide receiver recruit, and this kid is tearing it up. He was spectacular as a freshman. And yeah, we got to go slow.
Yeah.
Okay, this is We got to talk about this for a second because Chuck Nines is one of the godfathers of modern day college football. So Chuck Nines, when the 1984 lawsuit where Georgia and Oklahoma sued to basically say that each school should have its own broadcast rights and not the NCAA, and this, they won at the Supreme Court level. Chuck Nines was the man driving that. And Chuck Nines ended up being the Kaiser Sose, the World Wide West of college football. When someone needed a coach, they would call Chuck Nines. Who do you think, Chuck? Who do you think? And Chuck, you know, Chuck recommended Mack Brown to Texas. Chuck Nines was a guy who could have been the college football commissioner, but, you know, he led a good life. You know, I think he was in his 90s when he passed today. And that's the guy that college football needs right now. And a lot of people are saying it's Nick Saban. That Nick Saban, because of all of his tentacles, all of the people he knows, all the respect that he carries, that, you know, Nick Saban needs to be the guy either acting as college football commissioner or, you know, being on the board or handpicking the college football commissioner. So, yeah, Chuck Nines, I talked to that guy. Every time I talked to him, I felt like I just gained some piece of knowledge that I couldn't believe because of all of his connections, stories. Not a lot of people listening to the show right now are like, who the hell is Chip talking about right now? But Chuck Nines, he was the man. I mean, everybody went to him to find out who their next coach should be. He was as important to college football over the last 50 years as anybody. You know, maybe Saban now because he's won 7 national championships, but like if you talk to all the insiders, all the athletic directors, they'll all say Chuck Nines. Yeah. From 84 when they got the rights to their own broadcast, schools got the right to have their own broadcast rights. That was Chuck Nines. So RIP Chuck Nines, that guy was awesome. Yeah. Absolutely awesome. Yeah.
RIP Chuck, man.
Yeah. Not a surprise here. Drew Mestemaker entering the portal. Everybody thinks he's going to Oklahoma State with Eric Morris. So Drew Mestemaker won the Burlsworth Trophy, which goes to the best former walk-on. He beat out Michael Taft for that award because he threw for crazy yards. This was like Eric Morris was a receiver for Mike Leach in the air raid when they were throwing for crazy yards with Graham Harrell and, you know, Leach was like, we're throwing for 600 yards today. And that North Texas offense is about as close to what Leach was running at Tech as I've seen. Because everyone's added different wrinkles to it. You know, Lincoln Riley had that counter tray, that power running game to go with the air raid concepts. And that counter tray was such a revelation development because it's, you know, you're pulling guys. It can make the defense, you know, hesitate for a second. And that gives those receivers just that split second to get open. I remember Sean Adams would always be like, how the hell is CeeDee Lamb getting so bleep, wide open? And it was because of that counter tray, man. But Mike Leach was never going to do stuff like that. Mike Leach wanted huge offensive linemen with wide splits, like you know, 2 feet in between each guy so that your best pass rusher was going to be a mile from the quarterback. You know, your seven technique was going to be 4 yards further away from the quarterback than a offense with tight splits, because Leach was like, I can get that ball out of my quarterback's hands by the time that seven technique even thinks about getting close to my quarterback. And it worked for a while. And then old John Haycock at Iowa State came up with that 3-8 cloud and started slowing the air raid concepts down. And now I haven't even checked to see. Is John Haycock, I would imagine, he's going to Penn State with Matt Campbell.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because that guy's the kind of the godfather of that 3-8 cloud to slow down all those spread passing offenses. Big Sal in New York says, hey, what's the weather like up there in New York, Sal? That's the winter wonderland. You know, y'all down here in Texas hear that Christmas song, walking in a winter wonderland. And everybody's like, yeah, we don't walk in a winter wonderland down here. Not unless there's a big old storm that comes down, swoops down from the Rockies. Which happens.
Yeah.
What do we have? 4 or 5 years ago, we had like snow.
No, remind me. That was some dark days, man. Back at the station.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, ask BK about that. I'm trying to think who on the TSU team was there. Bucky wasn't there. I don't think so. Yeah, I think it was just me and BK. But yeah,
you sleep in that other studio with the couches, right?
Yep, that's where I was.
I had my kids in there one time because I was a single dad. And I'm like, hey, kids, you don't have school tomorrow. I got to do the radio show. We're going to spend the night at the radio station. And we had like a slumber party over there.
Yeah.
And then Tiger was on the radio with me. And I was like, you know, trying to make small talk with him. He was 10. I'm like, you got a girlfriend? He's like, Dad, get in my life. And people to this day are like, Chip, get in my life.
Get in my life, huh?
Yeah.
That's fun times, man. I'm not going to lie. Now, it was dark then, but now I look back at it. Yes, those restrooms were disgusting. They were disgusting. It was rough. Yeah.
Oh.
But, you know, there's levels, though. There's a lot of restrooms and a lot of stuff going
right.
on. But
a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. How about your Stillers? You went 3-1.
There we go. There we go, Pittsburgh.
Where you go, Zay?
I'm telling you, man, I wouldn't want to face them in the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but quarterback.
What you saying? What you mean?
Quarterback play is a big deal. Like, you got your Texans. If CJ Stroud could give him a little bit more, he looked good against the Cardinals, but it's the Cardinals. If CJ Stroud could keep coming along, feel great about your Texans. Bills, they got Josh Allen. Justin Herbert, he's good, but I'm still iffy about him.
I know, because he's never done it.
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers, it's taken a little bit. He looked good yesterday. And Kenneth Gainwell's a really good pickup.
Yeah, Kenneth Gainwell's been – I think I dropped him. I dropped him from my fantasy team like a year ago.
Yeah, I might want to pick him back up because he's been balling. Well, and, yeah, I think Mike McDaniel's contemplating playing Quinn Ewers. I mean, what do you got to lose?
What you got to lose?
Tua's out there just dinking and dunking around. Tua, you know, and it was cold yesterday. You know, Tua, he ain't pushing that ball down the field.
He's from Hawaii.
Yeah, he's from Hawaii. Like, he can't do that. So, yeah, it was easy for Pittsburgh. They just kept everything in front of them and were making tackles. Like, Tua just doesn't have much to him when it comes to November and December when it gets cold. That's just what it is. He's proven that year in, year out. They don't have Tyreek Hill either. So, yeah, Mike McDaniel, if I was him, I'd answer Steve Sarkisian's call and go live in Austin next year and just see if you could steal some money helping out Texas Longhorns, because this is it for Mike McDaniel. It's been a cool run. It was fun. It was fun. He came in. He was different. They're like, look at this quirky, nerdy, Silicon Valley-looking dude out here being one of the best, brightest offensive minds in the league. Excuse me. And that seemed like forever ago, because now it seemed like he lost his team, lost his confidence. He's not as funny with the media. You remember he was funny with the media? He was cool. You know, now he just looks run down and sad. It's sad. That's the gig.
They got some tools. You know, Devin Achane, I like him. He can run it. He can catch it. You got Jalen Waddle. You got Darren Waller is a big tight end target.
That crazy MF-er.
Yeah.
That dude's insane. And I don't trust him because he did my girl Kelsey Plum wrong. I don't trust him at all. I can't stand him. But you know, that's not good to say. But the way he did Kelsey
Cross, one of Zay's girls, man. You got
Kelsey Plum, man. The way he did her, she was head over heels for him. Head over heels. She went on that podcast with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. They asked her about it. The smile that she got on her face, man. How happy she was at the beginning. And Darren Waller just crapped all over it. Crapped all over the relationship and marriage. And now Kelsey Plum, now she's free to do her own thing, been killing in the W. But yeah, Darren Waller, then he tried to play victim. Come on, bro. We ain't buying that. I knew he was no good. I knew he was no good when I saw the neck tattoo. You know, and I'm not saying everyone with a neck tattoo is a bad person, but certain brothers out here, certain pretty brothers like Darren Waller, because, like, you know, he's pretty, so he's trying to cover up the pretty with the neck tattoo for folks to think that he's tough. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I'm hard out here. Don't mess with me, even though I'm a light-skinned brother. Nah, we see it. We see you no good there.
I didn't realize Adam Thielen is on the Steelers now.
She's collecting the check.
They got Valdez, Scantling. I mean, they got some up in their years dudes, but it's pretty much just Freiermuth and Metcalf and Kenneth Gainwell until
they got your boy Washington, old big ass tight end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. From Georgia.
That dude, every time he catches the ball, at least seven guys have to get him on the ground. At least, man. He is a monster.
Right. And I get that Freiermuth has been there. He's done it. He's put it in the books. Great tight end. But can I get some more touches for Darnell Washington?
Yeah.
That dude's 6'7", and he carries people down the field.
Yo, he got to be 285.
Yeah.
He has to be. It's like, I don't. They say he's like 265. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that, man. That brother's at least 286 on a good day.
He looks like a left tackle.
Yeah.
He looks like a left tackle.
Yeah.
He's even like, kind of got.
I know he'd be asking for extra fries on the sandwich because that's what they do in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, from Lanty Brothers.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. They put the fries on the sub.
Right in the sandwich.
I know he asks for extra fries every time he go in.
Oh, you know it. Oh, yeah.
The worst extra fries. That dude. I like him. And the fact that he was tied in too after Brock Bowers, damn you, Kirby Smart.
Yeah, we might need to get him some more touches.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers loves him. Because why wouldn't you? Like,
yeah,
that's the biggest target ever. I could throw it, clearly just overthrow him. And like, those big old mitts, his catch radius, it's impressive. So they got Jalen Ramsey. The TJ Watt thing hurts. That's a killer. Like, I'd feel a lot better if the TJ Watt thing didn't happen, but it is what it is. Injuries happen in football. But Jalen Ramsey looks good. They're going to be a tough out, depending on whatever their matchup is. I would not want to play that team, especially if I'm one of these New England, Denver, unproven. Tomlin's proven.
Pittsburgh needs to win that division so that they get a home game against one of these, you know, either the Jaguars or the Texans, whoever doesn't win, the South would be going up there, or the Chargers, you know. Those teams would be the ones on the road in Pittsburgh, and I'll take my chances. You know, I like the Steelers against the Chargers. I thought the Chargers would be better. I mean, they're good, 10-4. You know,
they're good. Darwin James is so cold.
Yeah.
God, he's good. He's everywhere. Jim Harbaugh lets him do whatever the hell he wants, as he should. Like, there's certain players out there. Caleb Downs, he'll be one of those players when he enters the league. Like, there are certain safeties. Again, I just mentioned Jalen Ramsey. That was a good move by Mike Tomlin. He's not playing normal corner like he did most of his career. That's made him a perennial Pro Bowler. He's now playing more of a safety spot where he could just roam around and make plays. And Darwin James, that's what he does for that Chargers defense. And
let me ask you this. The Ravens – so the Steelers are 8-6. The Ravens are 7-7. The Ravens just beat the Bengals in Cincinnati 24-0. My man, Joe Burrow.
Depressed, man.
Depressed. But the Ravens play the Patriots at the Packers and at the Steelers.
0-3.
Okay. The Steelers, on the other hand, their final three games are at the Lions, at the Browns, and home against the Ravens.
2-1. They lose it to your Lions.
Okay, all right.
They got the Browns. They got the Ravens. Yeah. You like that?
I need the Packers to collapse. That is the Lions' only way in. The Packers have to collapse. And their final three games are at the Bears. I need the Bears to beat the Packers. How about that?
Yeah, sad. You in dark.
Yeah, real sad. Then they play the Ravens in Green Bay, and then they're at the Vikings. What's their record, final three?
Oh, that's like a 2-1-ish.
You think they can beat the Ravens?
Hell yeah, I think they can beat the Ravens. Lamar, something's wrong with Lamar, man. I don't know what's – maybe the injuries. He just doesn't look – talk about the press too. Like, he doesn't look like he's playing with that love of the game, man. I think it's getting to him. That he understands what you have left to accomplish besides winning the Super Bowl. So once that sets in, once you've won MVPs and, you know, Player of the Year awards, because they have those now, Offensive Player of the Year awards and this, that, and the third, and now only people are just ranking the rest of your career on how much hardware you bring in, and they're always going to compare you to Patrick Mahomes because that's the era that you're playing in, just like they compared Peyton Manning to Tom Brady. And you're not close to that. Like, he's playing like there's a lot of pressure. And last year, Mark Andrews took a lot of life out of the whole franchise. Not catching that two-point conversion. It's in your hands, fam. It's in your hands. Two-point conversion. We tied the game. Overtime. Anything could happen. You drop it.
I hate that. I hate that. Because it's like the Lions 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game. I can tell you, it's like Texas against Ohio State last year in the semifinal. Terrible call on the screen. Terrible red zone sequence for Sark.
Yeah.
And if those two things go in a different direction, Texas might be the national champion in 2024. That's how close they were. That team was ready to win it. That team was ready to win it.
They were?
That was a national championship team. Yeah. And you got to have it. You got to have it when it matters most. And Mark Andrews, that was tough.
That was brutal.
It's like Jackie Smith dropping the touchdown in the Super Bowl for the Cowboys against the Steelers. He's all alone. The ball's lands in his hands. He's falling backwards. It's on his stomach and he can't corral it.
Can't do it.
I hate that. You know, Bill Buckner, all these moments where, that guy would have.
Oh, yeah. Sal, you remember this one? Patrick Ewing missing the finger roll against the Pacers. Sal, remember that, Sal? He right there, right over the rim. He's made this 1,000 times. Oh. Pacers advance. Reggie Miller. I don't think that was that series, but still, anytime you Pacers win, you got to do the Reggie Miller. Yeah, that's sports. You know, it giveth, it taketh.
It giveth, it taketh. Whatever
that saying is.
Oh, yeah. Giveth, it taketh.
Yeah, so now, right, go ahead, man.
All right, let's get a couple mentions, and then we'll get into the commentary. Hey, guys, this is a beautiful thing. I used to collect supplements. I was constantly in search of feeling the best I could feel. I was out playing pickleball last night. I'm still getting after it. And I have found my home with human, with two N's. I'm going to show you these different little containers because I want you to get used to seeing them when you go to humanwithtwoends.com/TSU and you get you some of these, because the great thing about human, they're, you know, unique scientific based formulas, of course, born from research at the University of Texas Health Science Center, but it's supporting your body in new and important ways like heart health, cardiovascular health, healthy blood sugar levels, healthy cholesterol levels. That's what it's all about. Metabolic health daily, going to help you with your blood sugar. And that's important stuff. You don't want to be getting adult onset diabetes. Cardiovascular health, it's going to help you with exactly what you would think. Blood pressure, blood flow. Cholesterol. Look, we got to have healthy cholesterol levels so that you're feeling good, enjoying your life, and performing at the max. You take those three with your Super Beats Heart Chews, which is going to help you with blood pressure support 2 times more than if just diet and exercise alone. And then, of course, the turmeric chews, which are anti-inflammation. The pain that we have after we work out, after we play sports, is from inflammation. And you take these turmeric chews every day. I take the super beets powder that all the Texas athletes take. I take it 30 minutes before I go out and work out. Because look, the science-backed beets formula from human is the number one recommended formula by cardiologists. That's what it's all about. So go to humanwithtwoends.com/TSU. Use the promo code TSU. Get the Super Beats Heart Chews. Get the turmeric chews. Get the Super Beats powder, sports powder, if you're working out. And then make sure you get the cardiovascular, the metabolic, and the cholesterol. Take all those. That's all you need. That's all I need. Got you covered. And hey, how about for the gift of Christmas this Christmas? How about not snoring for the person sleeping next to you? Because if you're snoring, it's more than just annoying to the person sleeping next to you. It could be the sign of a serious health issue called sleep apnea, which is a lack of oxygen while you're sleeping. That's horrifying because you don't even know that you're gasping for air because you're asleep. You don't want to be the person who goes to sleep and doesn't wake up when you could have avoided it. And here's the great thing. We have this great partnership with Texas Sports Unfiltered and the Sleep Cycle Center in Austin, located in Lakeway and at the Arboretum. Our guy, Dr. Chad Denman, who has dedicated his life to treating sleep apnea because it killed his own father at the age of 60. You go to sleepcyclecenters.com. Tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. They're going to take $100 off your sleep study. That sleep study is going to tell you exactly what's going on while you're asleep. If you have sleep apnea, it's going to tell you the level. And Dr. Chad has the best treatment options, from oral appliances like I have, a mouth guard holds my lower jaw open so I get that oxygen when I'm sleeping, to surgery. You need the answers. Take care of yourself. We say it all the time. And do it for the person sleeping next to you. Go to sleepcyclecenters.com and tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. And get over to Cover 3. I need some more reports in the comments about Sean Adams' prime rib sandwich. I want you all to tell me how much you enjoyed it. The Parmesan fries, the Chop House burger. Texas Monthly calls one of the best burgers in the state of Texas. You got happy hour every day, 3:30 to 6:30, 3:30 to close on Mondays. You got the $7 social hour menu with the firecracker shrimp. I mean, it's high-end food without the high-end prices. And oh, by the way, you can watch your favorite teams. But I love the vibe. And you walk into Cover 3 Anderson, Cover 3 Round Rock, great vibe, great service. You'll love it. And how about really blowing your special someone away, or maybe just treating yourself to that big screen you've always wanted? And our man, Tom McKay, Audiovisual Consultations, makes it so easy. He's going to bring you the best price on whatever big screen you need, and it's going to be of the finest products, LG, you name it, Sonos surround sound. Hey, he's got you covered. All you got to do is call 255-8678. 255-8678 or go to avconsultations.com. Tom and his crew will bring everything to you. He can help you with, you know, your man cave, surveillance, electronic shades, new lighting. Just call 255-8678. All right. Look at this. Look at my man, Ike. Ike says the Sean Adams prime rib sandwich is off the charts. I love it. It's got the au jus and the horseradish. With those Parmesan fries, let's go. All right. Sorry, CW. I bring up the pain of that game because it was that close.
To Pete Kwiatkowski's defense, Travion Henderson's cold than the mother.
That's why you got to keep him bottled up right there at the line of scrimmage. Don't be letting him get that screen game going. That guy looked like he had three locomotives in front of him, those big offensive linemen. And then all the Texas guys are running, taking terrible angles because these offensive linemen are blocking them. It was a great call and a terrible call. Great call by Ohio State, terrible call by Pete Kwiatkowski. Sorry, I'm a broken record. I love what Kwiatkowski does. I love it. I just need him to trust his guys in those moments to go after the quarterback. Go after the quarterback. Play a normal down of defense. You got aggressive, physical guys. I mean, think about who was on that damn defense. Anthony Hill, you know, Trey Moore, Ethan Burke, Colin Simmons. I mean, you had dudes. You don't need to be putting those guys, sending them backwards. All right, I'm done. All right, so for the chip shot today, I'm going to talk a little bit about this college football playoff because I'm fascinated. And one of the things I've been looking up is, as I mentioned a little earlier, who can run the ball, who can run the ball, and who can stop the run? Who's got that physical ability at the line of scrimmage to shut down opposing running games? Now, if you're Oklahoma or Alabama, you ain't got no running game to shut down. Your running game is so bad that we don't even need to worry about it. Your quarterbacks are going to have to do all the running and all the slinging because I don't know who to pick in that game. Alabama's all beat up. Oklahoma has been getting by on that defense. But here's the thing, and this is why I think people are so high on Texas Tech. The number one run defense in FBS belongs to Joey McGuire and the Red Raiders. And you got Jacob Rodriguez and David Bailey. They are allowing 2.3 yards per carry, 68.5 yards per game rushing. And we can say, well, hell, man, that's the Big 12. They don't got no running games, but typically BYU, Utah, typically they try to run it. Now, Arizona State, not the same without Cam Scataboo. Cincinnati tried to run it. But Texas Tech, you got to pay attention to that. 68.5 yards per game rushing. That's better than what Tavondre Sweat and our man, help me out, the other defensive tackle.
Byron Murphy.
That's better than what they put out in 23. So you got to pay attention to that. Now, guess who the number two run defense is in the college football playoff? James Madison. Anyone giving them a chance against Oregon? I am. Is that crazy? Yeah, I'm giving them a chance against Oregon.
Wow. Okay. Good for you.
You think I'm crazy?
Huh?
What's the spread in that game? I'm taking JMU in the points. What? What you mean?
Their coach don't even want to be there. Their coach is gone, eh? Where's he at?
Okay, fine.
Is Billy Napier coaching?
What's wrong with you?
I'm just saying that's his job. Billy Napier went from Louisiana to Florida to James Madison. Cute family photo, by the way.
Okay, I'm telling you right now, for one of my picks, I'm taking JMU plus 21 against Oregon. I'm just telling you.
All right.
We straight?
We straight, man.
Here's the deal. Like, I look at this. Okay, Oklahoma is the home team against Alabama. Alabama's favored by 1.5. Who you like in that game?
I'm just going home field advantage, so I'll take OU.
Okay.
They're both not playing well. I say that defense will make more plays. I know Jam Miller's coming back for Alabama, but yeah, that's just a Oklahoma's at home. It's going to be rowdy for Alabama. Ty Simpson's hurt. He got back problems.
Yeah, our Mason Thomas is trying to get back for this game. They're saying he's showing encouraging signs.
What happened to him?
He's been hurt.
I know he's been hurt. I just read what happened to him.
What was it? I thought it was a
Sooner Cowboys, what happened to R. Mason Thomas? I know you listening. Joe hating ass.
Quad injury.
Oh, yeah. That
ain't quad. The quadriceps.
Yep, you got to be careful.
Be careful. You don't want to be rupturing no quadriceps.
No.
You need that. That's the second biggest muscle in your body next to your gluteus maximus.
Which, kudos to Brent Venables, man. R. Mason Thomas, he's a big-time game changer. So for him to not be available and for that offense to be just completely out of whack and they're still able to stop teams enough to win these games that have led them to a college football playoff, that's pretty impressive. And Brent Venables, he deserves a lot of credit, and so does the rest of his coaching staff for accomplishing this.
Friday night, 7 o'clock in Norman, Oklahoma.
I see the Miami fans, they mad as hell because the College Station prices are crazy for hotels, man.
Oh, you can't stay in College Station.
No, just, hey, y'all
go to Conroe.
Yeah, go to Bastrop. They got some nice hotels now in Bastrop.
Conroe, though, they got nice, golf courses there if you want to.
Yeah, Conroe's cool.
Yeah.
Conroe's cool. Yeah, stay in Brenham. You know,
yeah, after Texas couldn't get a meal at the Ramada Inn in College Station in 99.
Yeah, that was.
I drove up to the stadium. I'm seeing football players running across the street to Jack in the Box, going over to Wendy's, trying to get any kind of food they can get because they showed up. I was staying at the Ramada Inn, same hotel as Texas. And I went downstairs. I saw all the football players running out the door trying to go get food. And I asked the person what was going on. I was like, oh, the guy who's supposed to prepare the food didn't show up. And then I go into the conference room where they were supposed to be eating. It was like dried cereal, no milk.
Damn, no milk.
I was like, ooh, I got me a scoop. I sat down, started writing about how they had no pregame meal at the Ramada Inn. Ramada Inn was not happy with me, but I was like, hey, Texas is not happy with you. Sounds to me like you said you were going to supply a big old meal for this football team and something happened. Oh, shocker.
Shocker.
And Mac Brown never stayed at College Station again. He stayed in Conroe after that. So, all right. I'm just saying. I like A&M. I think I like A&M big over Miami. I just don't think Miami can hold up. It's 11 a.m. They're lucky as hell. Miami's lucky as hell that they got that 11 a.m. kick and not 7 o'clock at night. Because I'll say this, Kyle Field, with how like hulking that place is against that darkened sky, all that concrete, it looks like the place is closing in on you. At 11 a.m., South Carolina went in there, got themselves a 30-3 lead.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't trust Carson Beck. I don't trust Mario Cristobal.
Yo, Carson Beck, last three games, been playing up numbers. So just keep that in mind. He's playing a lot better than he did against Louisville and your Mustangs. That's for sure.
All right.
That's sad. Stop that run. If Miami could stop the run, Marcel Reed, show me, baby. Show me you're the man. You going on Robert Griffin III show talking about you staying. That's really a no-duh situation. Like, yeah, we knew you were staying.
Well, last thing in this chip shot. Get this. How about this? The top seven run defenses in college football. Texas Tech, James Madison, Indiana, Georgia, OU, Ohio State, Miami. All playoff teams. The top seven run defenses in college football are all playoff teams. If you don't think stopping the run matters, there you go. Yeah. So that's what makes this weekend so interesting. People are like, you got some good defenses out here, man. So just keep that in mind as you're making your picks. If you think you're going to get by running the football, these defenses got something else to say about it. So you're probably going to have to throw it. You're probably going to have a quarterback who can make some plays down the field. And that's why everyone likes Julian Sain and Fernando Mendoza. And maybe Carson Beck. Because I don't trust Marcel Reed. This is my problem. I like A&M because I don't trust Mario Cristobal, but when Marcel Reed has to throw the ball 10 yards down the field, gets a little iffy.
Yeah.
He's good. Quick slants, screens.
And where's Colin Klein's head at?
Where's
that?
Is he in Manhattan? Is he a power cat or is he a Aggie?
Oh, he'll always be wearing that purple. That purple's in him. That's in his blood. That's why he went back. He had to. He had no choice. He had no choice but to go back. He'd been waiting for this opportunity.
This is like Cliff Kingsbury going to Tech.
Hell yeah.
Ready or not, it's happening.
It's happening. So, yeah, that's a lot. He's thinking about his players. He probably, let's say Marcel Reed gets lit up by a freshman or something at Miami. Man, that dude will look good in the purple for me next year.
You imagine
that plan looks good. You know, he thinking about recruiting and all that. You a head coach now, Colin. Wait,
you know who Colin Klein wants. He wants Sam Levitt, but I don't think Sam Levitt is gonna stay in the Big 12.
Hell, not to go to Kansas State. Hell no.
Sam Levitt's flashy. Yeah.
Sam Levitt's flashy.
I'm going to Miami.
Miami. That's what I was just about to say. I was just about to say that, man. He flashy. Yeah, he's waiting for Carson Beck's ass to get up out of there. And then Mario Cristobal going to come calling. And Sam Levitt's going to answer that. Yes, he is a Miami type of dude. Yeah, great call. For sure. Yeah. So, they already put out.
Who would you take? Would you take Sam Levitt or DJ Lagway?
Sam Levitt.
Okay.
Sam Levitt. Yeah, Lagway got too much. I don't know. Something about Lagway that just rubs me the wrong way. This is a weird year for him. And that's probably not fair. Florida had a lot of stuff going on. But, yeah, I think I'd take Levitt. So.
Rex St. Charles thinks Levitt is going to LSU.
That's not a bad take, yeah, Rex.
I'd rather work with Lane Kiffin than Mario Cristobal.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get to the right call.
Let's go. Before that, though, shout out to Covert BK. If you're looking for a vehicle, it's almost Christmas time. Everybody's doing a lot of traveling. Don't let the car that you have not allow you to get somewhere that you want to be around family. It's a beautiful time of the year, and you want to get to across town or out of town to see family, but you can't because you're so worried about your car breaking down. Go to Covert BK so they can solve that problem. They're the best, man. If you don't want to take my word for how great Covert BK is, listen to these fine people of Covert BK.
I don't have to worry about shopping for mechanics to make sure it's done and done right. I come up here, I'm in, I'm out. They give me a loaner sometimes, and it's hassle-free.
If you have any questions, they'll go ahead and help you out and educate you. They're not just here just to sell you a vehicle. They're here to build a relationship.
They treat you like family, and then they make the experience what you want it to be, not what they want it to be.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Where you are always treated like family.
Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. All right, Chips. Oh, man. You see some funny stuff on social media. So one of my favorite players of all time, who is now a coach, Warren Sapp, went viral on social media today. Oh, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Hall of Fame, defensive tackle. Warren Sapp was the man. Now he's coaching Colorado, helping that defense and helping Prime. There was a tweet that went out today praising Texas football and praising the players and, you know, just I don't know what the tweet said because it's no longer available. I can't find it because the comment that I'm about to get to that Warren Sapp made is no longer available. Someone deleted it, or he deleted it. But they're just praising Texas football and everything that comes with it because we all know, at least if you're a smart individual and you know your sports, when it comes to Texas football, pretty important. You know, a lot of good players and tradition have come out of the Lone Star State when it comes to the pigskin. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to watch Friday Night Lights and Varsity Blues to get that.
Right. So
Warren Sapp commented, and this is a Florida guy. That's, we know there's a rivalry between Texas and Florida on who reigns supreme on which state is better at football, from players to teams, colleges, pro teams, etc., etc. This fool Warren Sapp thought it was a good idea to comment that Texas is fake football. That's what he said. Remember, folks, he is on the defensive staff, coaching staff for Colorado, who, I don't know, plays three Texas teams in their conference or could play three Texas teams in their conference, which means it should be a hotbed for recruiting. If you're Deion Sanders, if you're smart. But if it's trash, because that's what your coach is telling me. Your coach is telling me that the players that they get are clearly trash. I'm sure Prime has players on the current roster that are from the Lone Star State. So you're going at them. You're going at every future player that you try to get from Texas. You're basically saying that you're getting fake players because the football is fake, according to you, Warren Sapp. Dumb move, man. Dumb. Why would you do that?
Why?
You do, like, you have to come out. And I don't know if he's issued an apology. You know how that goes. My man Diego Pavia had to apologize for going at Chip and the rest of the Heisman voters, saying F all you guys. I got my brothers with me. Which, Chip, you did not accept the apology yesterday. Your words were, it doesn't matter what Diego Pavia thinks or something of that nature. I don't know what you said. I'm paraphrasing. But you didn't accept the apology, but it ain't about that. We ain't talking about that right now. I'll digress a little bit. But Warren Sapp, man, you gotta be smarter than this. If I'm Prime, I'm livid. I'm livid. Because, dude, we need those players that you're calling fake. We need to go to, you know, East Texas and go to the DFW area, down to the Gulf in Houston and the ATX. Like, there's way more players in Texas than there is Colorado. Sorry, that's just a fact. So it's weird that Warren Sapp got into this little battle because he's so prideful of Florida. We're so prideful, those Florida natives, that he thought it was appropriate to say something like this as a defensive coach for the Colorado Buffalo.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Colorado has to recruit Texas well to ever be successful. That's terrible.
That's how it's always been for them.
Yeah.
Like, it's been like that from jump. Like, it's never changed. They've always had to come down here just to get players, which makes sense. Like, the recruiting pitches, we go play teams that are close to home every single year.
Yeah, and when it's like when Tom Osborne got all mad at Nebraska and saying Texas is running the Big 12, let's get out of here. That was the worst thing Nebraska could do because they were playing games in Texas. They could recruit Texas and guys like Jamal Lord and some of their stud players from Texas, that just dried up once they went to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You think a bunch of Texas kids want to go play games in Iowa and Champaign, Illinois?
Nope.
Outside in Minnesota? Madison, Wisconsin?
Hell no. Yeah. Yeah. Hell so no. I come on, Warren Sapp. And I love Warren Sapp, man. He's kind of crazy. Like, we knew that before this tweet. Like, we knew Warren Sapp was kind of out there, but
you assume. Okay, I got to throw this. I don't know. I don't want to hijack the right call.
No, go ahead.
But real quick, there is an interesting conspiracy theory brewing.
Uh-oh.
In Cleveland, as it pertains to Shedeur Sanders, because Kevin Stefanski's wife is the daughter of Tim McCarver, the reporter who Dion threw an ice bucket on during an interview because he hated Dion playing football and baseball. He was a baseball purist. He thought that Dion, you know, was making a mockery of, you know, baseball in October and blah, blah, blah. And so when all the rumblings happened that Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, wanted Shedeur Sanders, but Kevin Stefanski didn't, and he got Dillon Gabriel, but Jimmy Haslam wanted Shedeur, there was some thinking that maybe Kevin Stefanski's wife wasn't on board with Shedeur Sanders because Deion Sanders poured ice bucket on her dad's head during an interview after the NLCS. Anyway,
that's my type of petty. I mean, Kevin Stefanski's dead wrong for how he's done the Shedeur Sanders situation. Like, I was trying not to play into that because I want to think high of coaches that they wouldn't squander their own career because they hate a player so much. But when they were down eight, I forgot, it was a couple of weeks ago, like when they first started putting Shedeur in and they scored. Shedeur throws a pretty ball in the end zone. Cool. Touchdown. Now we're down two. And then they ran the Wildcat with Quinshon Judkins and took Shedeur Sanders out the game after he just completed the touchdown pass to put them within two. That's when I was like, okay, this fool, it's personal. And then they got different videos when Shedeur got his win and Kevin Stefanski wasn't giving them any praise. He was all about the team, but Shedeur wasn't really a part of it and stuff. And again, Shedeur's not the saint. He's made mistakes. You know, he didn't handle the draft process well. Him doing the weird mute thing in the interview, that was odd. So he's not a saint either, but Kevin Stefanski, he's handled this horribly. And if his wife is out here wearing the pants and stuff, whatever. I love my wife too, but come on. Like, you're doing these players a disservice just because she's petty. Nah, and the speculation. This is conspiracy theories.
Speculation.
But wow. Wow. Yeah. I'm going to put it past it. That is a ish storm down there in Cleveland. Like it usually is.
Yeah. All right. Let's open up the gym and bring in Patrick and Matt. What up, fellas?
What up? What's going on, guys? Yeah, it's almost surprising, man. Cleveland Browns football isn't well. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? What a shocker.
I didn't realize though that Kevin Stefanski was married to Tim McCarver's daughter.
I didn't know that either. But again, I don't keep up with Cleveland Browns coaches very much, and much less their love life. Yeah. Tend to stay away from that kind of thing personally. Yeah, I put some other goals. Zay, think the Spurs can win the big one tonight?
The big one?
We ain't win the title, so this is the big one for us this year.
Yeah. I mean, put some Skrilla in the guys' pockets. Ain't nothing wrong with that, you know?
Get them to feel a big win. It's been a while since this team has won anything, so Be nice to get something going the right way.
Yeah. I guess I got to watch Texas basketball tonight, too. So, hooray. Hooray.
Oh, well, you know, the good part is we got an all-name team member tonight for Lemoyne. Yeah.
What's my man's name? Tennessee
Rainwater.
Tennessee Rainwater.
A 6'6 junior guard for the Lemoyne Dolphins, Tennessee Rainwater.
That sounds like an Elvis song.
Tennessee Rainwater from Washington.
I'm out on that one. Wow. Why people strike again? I'm out.